In a world where success is often defined by the external, all the measurements of circumstance, of time, value, and emotion that changes with the energy that it is consisting of, such as things like money and titles or accolades, it's easy to lose sight of the true path, the trajectory, the divine directness to our potential, to our greatness. The journey to greatness is not about being everything to everyone or pleasing everyone for that matter. It's about being true to one person that matters, yourself. Being intentional about what you're focused in on with your actions, words, thoughts, beliefs, and feelings, and continually, consistently every day, persistently without quit, pursuing your own truth, your own potential. I will share these lessons today and make them available to you. Just email me, david@dmeltzer.com, if you'd like the guides and exercises of pursuing potential with truth and intention training. These lessons shared here will challenge you to rethink, to shift your paradigm of what you're striving for, allowing you to focus in on how you can align what you do, say, think, feel, and believe with the environment, the circumstances, and the mindset, heartset, and handset of your application of why, your purpose. This training guide, which I'm happy to send you at david@dmeltzer.com, will guide you through the principles that shaped your greatness, true potential, focusing in on the strength and moving the weaknesses to where they are strength, and letting go by identifying the interfering emotions that hold you back, the limiting beliefs, the meaning you give your past that will define you and limit your self-image and your imagination. Knowing you'll never overachieve your own imagination, we need to embrace and understand and elevate the awareness of what we're doing to interfere with our potential, the self-doubt that is limiting our growth. And we need to see things not as sacrifice, but investment in yourself for a sustainable period of time, a perpetual period of time, a long term, a divine direction, utilizing the detours in their own rejection as a new direction, a divine detour to divine time. Each of the lessons is an opportunity to break free from these limiting beliefs, the meaning we give our past, and unlock the potential that lies within each and every one of us. Are you ready to embrace this path, this trajectory, this divine direction to your potential? All right, let's dive in. Lesson number one, you will never be great at everything. Greatness comes from deep focus, repetition, consistent, persistent pursuit, not trying to be good at everything, narrowing our focus, paying attention to the prioritized activities will free yourself to excel in your own zone of genius. Genius being defined by myself as an expression of God, of expression of potential, expression of truth. And when we achieve this greatness, this fulfillment, this purpose, this potential, and focus in on and pay attention on what aligns with your strengths, your skills, your knowledge of who and what, and your desires, we learn to prioritize the activities that are aligned with our divine and delegate the rest. I was blessed to work with Steve Jobs early on in my career, and he was definitely someone that didn't try to be great at everything in technology. He was extremely good in focusing in on the design of his own genius, his expression of God, designing user-friendly, beautifully crafted products and packaging. He trusted, as Einstein had trusted the mathematicians, as an applied mathematician, Steve Jobs was an applied designer, applied entrepreneur. He trusted his team to handle the other areas in hardware engineering, software development, et cetera, to facilitate what he was paying attention to and giving intention to, knowing he would never be great at all of those things, the same way Einstein knew he wasn't going to be great at all of those things. And by doing this, he created the innovative iPhone, revolutionizing an evolutionary communication within the tech industry without stretching himself too thin by trying to master every aspect of Apple, of that business. In order to understand that we will never be great at everything and to understand our own zone of genius, our own expression of God, and finding the people whose strengths sit within the applied capabilities that are necessary in this process of teamwork and delegation, we look to audit or take inventory of our own skills, knowledge, and desire, but also the meanings or relativity of the use of time of what we do say, think, feel, and believe, and allow ourselves to eliminate activities by not feeling obligated to things that are not in alignment, synergistic, or supplementary to where we want to be or better. And taking this action step of taking inventory will help to facilitate the first lesson that we never would be great at everything and never can please everyone. The second lesson is a really difficult lesson about the pursuit of our potential and the truth and intention. And the truth is that not everybody belongs at every time emotion and his value changes, the circumstances changes. You have to let some people go. You have to let them fall away or even fire them from our lives. As you grow, others may not. As you grow, you may outgrow or others may outgrow you. Personal and professional elevation often requires separation, a falling away, or a firing from those who no longer serve your divine direction, your purpose. And in elevating ourselves, elevating the awareness of ourselves and the meaning of ourselves often means releasing relationships that are holding you back. This is a very difficult thing to do because we utilize our identity by not only certain accolades and achievements, but by the people that we surround ourselves with. And if we lose certain people, we are fearful of losing our identity. As I work with many CEOs of growing startups, they realize that certain employees no longer fit with the company's new direction or new circumstances. While the team has been loyal and have done their best, learned lessons, and had fun, and understood the growth of the company, in human nature, each of these employees take too much credit. It would be impossible for every single one of your employees to actually have contributed what they think they contributed, because if so, then there'd be 300% contribution. And so we have to understand that we, because of circumstances and growth, the company may not be aligned with the strengths of the skills, knowledge, and desires of the individuals, and that you need to be okay with letting them go. You need to be okay that you, as a leader, as CEO, have paid them according to what they do with no promise that time, circumstance, or value is going to change and that they may render themselves not aligned or valuable to the company anymore, regardless of the service previously rendered. That is business. And if you do not weed the way, I remember a CEO of one of the largest real estate companies in the world, and he had a board of his executives that had been with him for 26 years or more. And I said, well, what's the biggest mistake that you made in the business? He said, not firing most of them. They held me back. A CEO needs to make tough decisions to let a few people go, understanding that is necessary for the company's future growth and the capability of handling the circumstances of time, value, and emotion changing. In doing so, the company is able to bring in fresh talent who push the organizations to new height in synergy, supplementary skill sets, knowledge, and desires, aligning the company's vision with what's doing well today, what's stable today, and what we think is doing well in the future. It's impossible for all people who start with us to finish in that realm to provide the most value and the most strength to the situation. What we need to do is create an emotional expense column to understand the quantitative value of people around us in the pursuit of our potential and the truth. And the truth is that 80% of our employees are either breaking us even or losing us money. 80% of our clients are either breaking us even or losing our money. And if we don't fire the clients and the employees that are losing us money, including taking an analysis of the quantitative emotional expense, because you may think that there's an employee that's profitable for you. You could pay them $200,000 a year and they make you $1 million, but then you realize that the emotional expense is costing you $800,000 of what you could be making if you didn't have to spend the time dealing with this a-hole or dealing with the people that he's an a-hole to, your clients, associates, partners, and employees. And so we need to take inventory of the people that are losing us money in our business, clients, employees, partners, et cetera, and breaking us even. We then need to use our intention in the philosophy of pursuing our potential with truth and intention to bring the people that are breaking us even to profitability and fire the people that are losing us money. It's great for competition as well, because if you're firing clients and employees that are losing you money, they're going to go to your competitors. And not only are you going to be more profitable, but they're going to lose money because they now have employed someone that's losing them money. Relative to this idea of you can't solve and do everything or be good at everything or great at everything or everyone, you can't please everyone, in the respect that we need to get rid of people as well. Lesson three will be the rendering outcome from lessons one and two, because it will make us feel like an imposter. And we have to understand that as time, emotion, and value changes, as humility, which is the tranquility of our journey as human experiences, takes place, the human tranquility is humility, that we normally will feel like we don't know what we don't know. And if we're in a higher position and we feel like we don't know that we don't know, we will feel like an imposter. Therefore, feeling like an imposter is normal. Self-doubt is a sign you're expanding into a new territory. You're leaving the learning zone even and touching over the line into the anxiety zone, making notation that if we go too far for too long, we need to step back into the learning zone, because the learning zone is expansive. The comfort zone and the anxiety zone is constrictive. So if we stay in the comfort zone too long, it'll constrict until we can't get out of bed. If we stay in the anxiety zone too long, it'll constrict all the way down until we can't get out of bed. So we need to embrace this expansion in self-doubt, this feeling like an imposter, as a signal of growth. Imposter syndrome is normal for those that are expanding learning in what they do, say, think, feel, and believe. And when we're pushing past that comfort zone, let it fuel you and your progress. Don't let it stop you, limit you. Give it the meaning of growth, not the meaning of limitation. I tell a story about J.K. Rowling. If I was limiting my own beliefs and traveling around in London, if imagine you were walking on the street and you met a homeless woman and she said to you, as she's writing into her paper journal, "Would you like to buy my story for $1 million? Now, my own self-doubt would tell me this is crazy, and I would offer, you know, 20 euros and say, "Here, I'd love to help you in your pursuit of your potential and writing this brilliant story." But understanding my timing and risk tolerance, not really sure $1 million for that handwritten paper journal would be worth it. Now, me and my self-doubt would have passed up a multi-billion dollar franchise that created the richest woman in the UK, because she would have sold me Harry Potter. And little did I know, if that was the case, that my own limitations, my own beliefs about possibilities, probabilities, and perspective would have given me an opportunity to be a billionaire by purchasing Harry Potter. But when J.K. Rowling herself first started writing Harry Potter series, she had severe doubt. Beyond my doubt, she felt like an imposter in the world of literature, especially when her book that was written, handwritten, while she was homeless, was rejected by multiple publishers. That which is like Jack Canfield, who was rejected by 120 publishers before he wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, which sold over 500 million copies, next to the Bible, the best-selling book. But instead of giving up like Jack Canfield, J.K. Rowling continued writing and allowed her success, as things happened very slowly, then all of a sudden, to overcome her self-doubt, which was merely a sign that she was pushing herself beyond the comfort zone into this new territory. That feeling like an imposter, which she did every day, homeless, writing Harry Potter, was normal. In order to facilitate the lesson three of feeling like an imposter is normal, we need to reframe things. We need to reframe the imposter feelings as an indicator of growth expansion, as an indicator of awareness that the rejection is a redirection into something bigger and better. And so if we still ask ourselves the questions about being an imposter, about giving meaning to what we're doing, about realizing that those who feel like an imposter are humble. Humility is the tranquility of human experience, which is a good thing to put us at ease, to allow the things that already exist, our potential that we are pursuing, to happen faster, to aggregate more source and resource, and to create exponentiality in its outcomes. Remember, feeling like an imposter is normal. The next lesson is goals or divine direction or trajectory that impress others will leave you empty. I talk about often in the world of just enough for me, of buying things you don't need to impress other people you don't like. This happens all the time with what we want in our life. It's always what we want is what other people we think want for us, or we want them to think we are, or what's missing we don't have. It is this external validation that may provide short-term satisfaction through acknowledgement and recognition, but true fulfillment, passion, purpose, and the application of why comes from aligning your truth and the pursuing of that purpose in attention and intention that create the coincidences that provide us passion, purpose, and profitability. Make sure that you're pursuing your truth. Make sure that you've given the meaning, the relativity to the time that you spend doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing in the trajectory of your pursuit. Don't chase applause. Chase the meaning. Success, accolades, external validation without fulfillment of that process is empty. I've never felt more empty when I moved into my dream house with my dream girl and my dream family, with more than enough of everything for everyone, but no fulfillment, because I was satisfying what I wanted other people to think I am, instead of realizing I am, what am I doing to interfere with the fulfillment, passion, purpose, and even more profitability. I work with so many entrepreneurs that set goals to make millions of dollars by the end of the year, primarily motivated by societal acknowledgement, approval, and appreciation, and the desire to impress others, to buy shit they don't need, to impress other people they don't like. However, once this goal is achieved, as in my case, they feel empty and unfulfilled because they don't consider their true purpose. They don't pursue their potential within that true purpose in the consistent, persistent manner. And as they remember, recollect, and reflect, they shift their goals to creating a sustainable business that provides shareholder value and value to others, which they realize that even the money doesn't buy them that fulfillment. It just allows them to shop. And unless they give the right meaning and the right reasons to what they're shopping for, that they'll end up empty. But when they do pursue their potential, their truth with attention and intention, they will have a greater sense of purpose. It would be an application of why. We want to take inventory of the language and the actions and the feelings and the beliefs, not the quantitative metrics of our bank account. I used to look at my bank account. I was worth over $100 million. And when it went up $100, I was happy. And it went down $100, I was sad. My complete identity, fulfillment, and passion and purpose was relegated to a quantifiable account balance, trying to please what other people think. Do not allow your pursuit to impress others. It will leave you empty. The next lesson within the context of pursuing potential with truth and intention is feeling selfish is okay. Taking care of yourself first is okay if you have the intention or the meaning that I'm going to take care of myself so I can take care of others. My wife gave me that request as I rebounded from losing everything in the bankruptcy in 2008, rebuilt our empire together, and I offered to her anything that she wanted in the world to thank her for saving my life and putting me in the right divine direction, giving me not only wisdom, but faith that I could be more than I was. And she told me the only thing she asked is I take care of myself. Because if I didn't take care of myself, I wouldn't be able to take care of others. And she knew my intention was to take care of other people, especially those most relative to me. So taking care of ourselves allows us to serve others from a place of strength. Self-care is essential to our long-term respect and to our long-term success. That's why our non-negotiables should start with self. Minimum amount of time with sleep, minimum amount of time with health, minimum amount of time with family, then finance, faith, all the study of time and relativity necessary in order to effectuate it in the non-circumstantial behaviors as well. You cannot pour from an empty cup. It is cliche. It is cliche to say, but there's a reason that things are cliche. It's because they've tested and have lasted through the test of time. Sometimes you need to say no to others in order to say yes to yourself. Sometimes saying no to others will make you, will determine who you are by saying no to others and giving time and intention and attention to yourself. So many successful executives that I coach try to create this balance in their lives. Successful executives with families and careers realize that they've been saying yes to everyone, leaving no time, attention, or intention to filling their own cup. Even though their full intention is to give more, if you give more than you receive, you'll end up at zero. It's a zero-sum game. You won't be able to give. So they start feeling burned out and recognize they need time to go off the grid to recharge in order to be more effective, efficient, and statistically successful in their personal and professional endeavors, careers, and parenthood or husbandry or wifetry. They decide to block out a minimum amount of time each day for themselves to exercise, meditate, or rest. This quote-unquote return on self is the greatest ROI, is the ROS. Return on self allows them to be more present. It energizes them, engages them, and allows them to fill their cups so they can fill more cups. See, if they give more to themselves, they can give more to others. They can then receive more and then ask for more than more and then continue the abundant, infinite cycle of more than enough. Make sure that you have non-negotiable behaviors. Include your sleep, your health, your family, your finance, your faith in those non-negotiables. Assign time 7 days a week. Assign time to vacation. I vacation every day. We're here in Vancouver. Come and join us. I'm vacationing. Activity I get paid for, speaking, meeting, holding courts, VIP dinners, interviews. We are going to have an amazing time. If you want to join us, whether it be Vancouver, Minnesota, Atlanta, Nashville, Orlando, email me, david@dmelcher.com. I'll also send you the guides and exercises from today and this training of pursuing potential with truth and intention. The next lesson is understanding your environment will assist in your discipline. You're the aggregate of the different teams you play on and the position you play on that team and the amount of time you play playing on those teams. Discipline is not just about your willpower. It's about creating an environment that fosters consistency and growth. It's about avoiding temptation, not just resisting temptation. Don't put yourself on the team that creates temptations, the things that interfere with where you want to be. Remember, good behavior is aligned with where you want to be. Bad behavior is interfering with it. Surround yourself on the team and play the positions with people with good behaviors, behaviors that are aligned with where you want to be, and avoid the teams that have interfering behaviors stopping you from pursuing your potential and truth and intention. Proximity to this positive influence is a key driver to discipline. Discipline is not easy. It's contrary to human nature. It's easier if you're playing for disciplined teams than non-disciplined teams. Design your teams and the position you play on those teams in your space and relationships to support or align with your divine direction, making easier the rejection to redirection into divine detours and allowing for divine time for the infinite patience and the empathetic nature of the team that you pay on by the discipline and the behaviors that each team and position you're playing and they're playing have on your divine direction. Understand a writer who struggles to stay disciplined creates a dedicated writing space with few distractions, interferences, fills themselves with inspirational quotes, books, lessons, stories, maybe even a comfortable chair. By setting up an environment that supports their divine direction, it allows the dejection to turn to redirection, and they find that the act of writing becomes easier and easier, even though the simple things to do are simple not to do, because they've designed a team and a position on that team that encourages focus, consistent, persistent pursuit of their truth and their potential with intention. Their environment now fosters their discipline and motivation. Make sure that you're constantly seeking upgrading the environments, the teams that you play on and the position that you play, and surround yourself with those routines and behaviors that exist. Remember, it is consistent, persistent pursuit. You're never done. You're just pursuing your potential. If you think you can get more, there'll always be more. You'll be empty for sure. Greatness is not a destination. It's a continuous journey towards your potential. There's no final arrival. There's just a trajectory, a divine direction and divine time that makes those detours, that rejection into a redirection, into a divine direction of a divine detour. Strive for progress, not perfection. So many Olympians who win gold medals don't rest on their laurels. In fact, the greatest Michael Phelps, gold medal champion, was in the pool the day after he won his 8th gold medal. After achieving what others might see as a pinnacle of success, he understood that there's always more potential to unlock in our own greatness, in a lifelong pursuit of that greatness according to his skills, knowledge, and desires. This mindset allows him to stay hungry for improvement throughout the year. In conclusion, understanding that the enjoyment of the consistent everyday, persistent without quit, of pursuing our potential with truth and intention will create the coincidences, the results, the consequences of what we want in our lives. As you move forward, remember that greatness isn't a destination. It's an ongoing journey of growth and self-discovery. Each lesson is a step towards aligning your skills, knowledge, and desire, but you do say, think, feel, and believe with your true potential. Shedding the habits and the people that hinder your progress, interfere with where you want to be or better, and embrace what you do say, think, feel, and believe, that you are always progressing, evolving, and growing. If you embrace these lessons with truth and intention, you will not only unlock your personal greatness and potential, but inspire others to do the same. Not only liberating your life, but liberating others' people, light, love, and lessons. The pursuit of this greatness is not about perfection. It's about the progress. There will always be challenges and moments and interference of self-doubt, but it's through overcoming these hurdles that you will discover just how limitless you are, and the meaning that you give the past should be expanding, not limiting your potential, because your potential is your truth. Make a commitment today, understanding your non-negotiable behavior, behavior that's aligned with where you want to be or better. Play on the teams and play the positions that are aligned with it, and get rid of the teams and the people that are interfering with your journey, and trust that every step you take will bring you closer to the person that you're meant to become, your potential. You are capable of more than you think, say, do, feel, and believe. You are unlimited, limitless, determined upon the meaning of the past, of what you do, say, think, feel, and believe. Through this process, let this be a start on your path to your potential. Enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of that potential. Keep pursuing what you're paying attention to, giving intention to, for the coincidences, results, and consequences you want in your life, and watch your potential unfold. If you'd like these lessons and guides, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Join me in Vancouver, Minnesota, Atlanta, Nashville, and Orlando. This has been the Pursuing Potential with Truth and Intention training for the Napoleon Hill Institute. Reach out to me, david@dmeltzer.com. Remember, most importantly, be kind to your future self and do good deeds.